As I continue to work through my spiritual heaviness, I'm realizing that a lot of my weight comes from unforgiveness. While I've been able to mend broken relationships, the traumatic memories themselves have taken root and are now sprouting in my heart. My frustration with this issue has led me to ask God, how do you forget the things you are willing to forgive? You're tuning in to Chatting with Charity. Hey, rider. Welcome back to the only podcast that takes rides that change lives. I'm your girl, Charity Gashenge. And I'm so excited for this ride because this is a personal challenge I have been confronted with, is how to forget the things that I'm willing to forgive. A lot of the times people cannot forgive. They hold grudges, they hold bitterness. And I'm like, well, thank you, God, for helping me process those traumatic experiences to be able to forgive these people and see them in a kinder way. But God, I cannot forget the things that they have done to me. So when I feel challenged again, or when I feel something is similar to what they did before, I have to bring back all those old memories that I already forgave. And is it true forgiveness if you don't actually wipe away someone's transgressions towards you? But the brain has this very beautiful way of holding on to all of the worst memories. It's so hard for me sometimes to remember certain periods in my life where I was so happy, but those bad ones, oh my goodness, the details are so accurate. So why does my brain do this to me? Why does my heart compel me to forgive, but my brain won't allow me to forget? So I say to myself, God, help me understand how to do this. What is the right way to pursue true forgiveness that allows me the freedom to live authentically with the people that I have forgiven, to have peace with my brethren, peace with my sisters, peace with the people that at one point brought me joy, even if they gave me a little bit of pain. You know, forgiveness for me as a child was essential because so many bad things were happening so fast that I had to forgive them in order to not melt in anger. Because at one point I was holding on to everything and I walked around with a stank face. My face was always wrinkled. My mom would be like, you know, you can relax your face. But I was just so tense with anger. So a lot of people are like, Charity, you're so full of enthusiasm and energy. And it's because I actually grew up being very, very tense. Now I'm just tense with joy, tense with laughter, tense with, you know, a bubbly spirit. But when I was younger, that was me trying to protect myself, you know, and trying to process these thoughts and these experiences. But now as an adult, God has really told me very clear, Charity, those things that you used to do as a child, you no longer need to do as an adult. You no longer need to be impulsive, to tell people off, to want to defend yourself verbally. Walk in humility. Let your actions speak for themselves. People are always going to chastise you and break your spirit down and say negative things about you. Do you really think you are put on this earth to fight all of those people? At some point, you're going to have to learn to let what people do to you go. But the reality is, I have not forgiven all the other people who have done these things to me. So when a new person does it, all of those feelings come together and I dump it in that new situation. Let me give you an example. I've had some people talking about me behind my back, people that I considered friends. And while those relationships that were talking about me recently, I don't care about them. I don't care about them. Y'all could talk about me all y'all want to, but what it really brought into my heart is all of those other times as a little girl in school, just all of those moments I had to defend myself because people were always making fun of me, always making me the butt of the joke, always laughing at me. And in this new situation as an adult, despite my desire to continue a relationship with these people, I still felt like I was a clown. And I went into that mode of, I gotta save Charity. So let me tell them off. Let me come at them and be spiteful and nasty. And after I did it, it did not solve anything. Because that old version of Charity no longer needs those tools. So now I say to God, all right, I'm not stressed about that situation, but something in it triggered me. And that's when I realized it's because I've not forgotten all of the things in life that I have forgiven. Another way to look at this, if my example alone doesn't compel you to understand why this ride is so important, I want to bring your attention to Instagram, because Instagram has a very good way of bringing you back to a place you don't want to be. Like, for example, you unfollow that ex, right? You're like, I'm done with you. I'm about to unfollow you. Go and live my best life. Now, why'd I show up in your Explorer page? Why is somebody DMing you, telling you something? And then it's like the Instagram algorithm knows you are still on demon time. Let me send you back this demon for you to deal with again. And the reality is that what you did not do is you did not block them. And the reason why you did not block them is because you do not want to forget them. A part of you has held on to that memory, is holding on to that memory, and wants the ability to go back. So now, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? We know it says, forgive your brethren, or God is not going to forgive you. We know the basic baby version of that. But deeply and intensely, what does the Bible say about forgiveness that surpasses all understanding and leads to peace and forgetting? That is the trajectory we are going on in this ride, is I got to get you out of my head so I could put something useful back in it. So the Bible says this in Malachi chapter 7, verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquities and passing over transgressions for the remnants of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. You know, when God says that we're made in his image, I feel like sometimes he forgot some things, because none of that is germane to us as humans. None of that sounds easy to do. Do you understand that? Pardoning iniquities. Pardoning. That's like when presidents pardon a killer, a felon, like pardoning. Yeah, I can't pardon anything. Now we get to passing over transgressions. Allah, how do you pass over a transgression? How do you just decide, oh, that person did this, I'm just going to pass over it? No, I'm going straight through it, knocking it down and dealing with it head first. And then it says, he does not retain his anger forever. So even in those moments where he does get frustrated and angry with us, he forgives us because he actually delights in having a good relationship with us that's steadfast. Steadfast, literally a relationship that is going to continue to be loyal and firm and solid. He doesn't dwell in the things that we do bad because he knows it's going to get in the way of our relationship, and he just desires to love us. How many people have we thrown away because we could not get past all the things that they did, even though we had a genuine, unique desire to love each other? Oh God, that's so prophetic. Still ain't calling you back though. Like I said, God is dealing with me about this. I have not, okay? Me, I have not processed and completed this challenge. So now I was looking at Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 22. And this is when Peter is talking to Jesus, and he says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. I want to help you to appreciate that seven is the number of completion. So when you get to seven, you're supposed to end it. That's the final thing. Like, life happens in the span of 7 years. If you ever sit down and calculate your life, you'll see changes happening around that time. So now when God says 77, that's just the humor of God, right? Because who is actually making it to 77 times. You got about 3 times in my life. Okay. I just thank God that Peter had the grace to say 7, because you got about 3 times in my life to slip up on me and get God. Okay. If I find out, I'm cutting you off and I ain't never calling you back. And my friends would be like, why do you do that, Charity? Because the Lord is still working on me. And 77 is a far long, 77 times for someone to disrespect me. But honestly, that's the humility of God. He's like, don't let your bitterness and your frustration get in the way of you and your brother, because it's saying, what do I do when my brother sins against me? I understand this part deeply because my relationship with my sister is so confrontational, not even just on a physical level, but a spiritual level. When I tell you that okay, praise God, I think I've reached 77 with this girl. I think I have reached 77 with this girl. The confrontation is so insane. And I am and have forgiven her for a lot of the things that she has done, because I understand that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but of principalities and evilness and high and low places. But the truth of the matter is, that girl low key scares me. Okay? Not scares me in the sense of where I'm scared or fearful, but the things that people can do to hurt you, I'm not willingly going to put myself in a situation where this person is going to inflict consistent pain on me. The grace that God is talking about here, where you consistently try and try and try until you die, basically, to repair, to break generational curses, my heart don't got that right now. So the Lord's going to have to deal with me to give me the grace to not look at that person and say, you, I can't get not one foot in front of you because that is too much danger, you know? But we can't build if we have that in the back of our head, you know? I can't build if I'm saying I don't trust you and I, you know, I've seen what you've done to me and you've talked about me and you've slandered me and you've stolen from me. All of these things, when I think about them, I'm like, I'm never going to have a relationship with that person. And that is exactly what happens when you forgive, but you do not forget. You still kill the thing. What's the point of forgiving if you cannot forget and build that relationship back so it can have the glory of God on it? The glory of God, it's to say that that person has wronged me 77 times and here I am blessing them 77 months later. Joyce Myers was talking about how her father raped her for like 15 years. And she kept trying to tell her mother about it, but her mother did not believe her. Fast forward several years, she's taking care of her dad while he's ill and aging. Could you take care of the person who has been molesting you and sexually violating you for 15 years? I mean, I'm African. I'll be in that bad boy praying, die by fire, die by fire, you know? But the grace of God to take care of someone that's harmed you is such a very high place to get to. And a lot of us think too low to even get there, myself included. I continue to try to understand, okay, when Peter asked this question and God says, you know, 77 times, I read deeper into this verse and into this chapter, Matthew chapter 18, and the entire story is talking about a king. The king is there and the servant is like, listen, to be honest, I don't got your money and I ain't trying to go to jail. Like, can you please pardon me? And the king is just so irritated with the servant that he says, fine, okay, whatever, go. So now the servant, after he has been pardoned, goes back to his fellow comrade who owes him money and says, hey, you, come, you owe me money. And he has gone to collect police and people to put that man in jail. When the people saw what was happening, they went and they told the king. And the king said, aren't you the one that I have pardoned? Aren't you the one who came to beg me to be forgiven? But then now when you have gone back to your local town, you want to go and persecute people. That's when the Holy Spirit helped me to understand that when God says we forgive so we can be forgiven, that is what he means. You cannot ask for God to give you a certain measure of grace that you're not going to be willing to give to other people. If you say to yourself, God, forgive me for this thing, it's going to require you to forgive that thing. And do you want someone to remember? Like, what if the king was like trying to be Pinocchio to the man? And, you know, every time he saw him make life difficult for him, he said, no, just go live your life. It's all right. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. That person that hurt you, it's all right. Don't worry about it. But we still worry. We still worry. So now let's move. Why is God telling us that it is important to forget? In Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. How you respond to the things that happen to you in your life is going to be a reflection of how you live your life. When you hear people say, don't let somebody take your peace. Okay, a lot of these things sound beautiful, but we let people take our peace every single day because we are quick when we are triggered. We are quick when we are triggered to use harsh words, to go into something with vengeance. And a lot of the times, it's not what that person did, but it's how all these other people made us feel. How do you get to a soft answer when you've been sexually violated, mentally violated, physically abused, domestically hit on, lied to, cheated on, robbed, kicked out? How do you respond in a way of comfort where when someone comes in to love you or to harm you, either way, you respond with a soft answer? That is the ultimate healing. How we're gonna get there? We're going to continue these rides with Chatting with Charity so the Lord can help us and the Holy Spirit can help us understand exactly how do we get to this level of healing. Because I've spent 32 years on this earth, mad stressed out about all the things that people have done to me. And I am trying to reclaim the rest of this life that I have to experience it with the peace, only dealing with the things that I can control. Life is not easy. I just want my portion. I don't want the drama and the inability to forget the things that people have done to me to add unnecessary burdens. Me, I have plenty. So now we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. In my relationship with God, we've battled a lot. We've really battled a lot because I also have this type of a relationship with Him where when things are starting to go bad, I'm remembering all of the times things went bad. And it makes me question God, not if He's real, but if I even want to do this. Like, God, why am I doing all of this if you're just torturing me? Because that's what it's felt like going through hardship in my life. And even though God has given me the understanding is that you are persecuted and you are going through fiery trials for your good. I've explained this to you so many times. So why are we going through situations by fire? Why are we going in situations with challenges and you're still questioning who I am when I told you how I work? This is how we work. Well, God, I don't really want to work like that because that's a little too hard and it's hurting my feelings. Your feelings are not supposed to be hurt. They're supposed to be strengthened and encouraged. That is why we go through these challenges, but I am with you. I want a relationship with you. This is how we build our relationship. But a lot of us can't deal with challenges and forgive and forget. You know, the Lord has been dealing with me because I'm like, how am I ever gonna get a husband if I cannot forgive and forget? I don't have time to be arguing with the man that I live with every single day. But see, the grace of God is sufficient. You have to do the work to create the kind of life that you want. The world is not gonna change for me or for you. You have to go into this dangerous, concrete, diggity doggone world and find yourself some peace. Find yourself some joy that cannot be shaken. Find yourself some strength that will allow you to build in this disaster of life that we live in. And we do that. We do that by both forgiving and forgetting. This might be the first time you've heard this very unpopular opinion, but write down a list in your God's Vision Journal where you can buy at www.luxandcobrand.com. Write down your list in your God's Vision Journal and begin to forget those things and ask the Holy Spirit to remove it from your brain, because you have power and dominion and authority over that brain. You have the ability to remove the anxiety that is choking you because of all the experiences that are true, that happened, that were hurtful. You can let go of those now. And it's going to take intentional effort. I'll leave you with this last remark, okay? Because I really want to encourage you in this way. All of us have been through things. My sexual abuse has complicated my life in ways I've never really been able to process. The amount of paranoia and anxiety I have and fear around being taken advantage of, and trust, not feeling safe. Why does this person who did this to me so many years ago have the opportunity to still impact my life, have the opportunity to still make me feel unsafe? When we begin to unpack these deeply painful experiences and we give them back to the fire that we were in when we were tried, and leave them there, we get to birth a new person. And I keep talking about birthing a new person because we are greater than what we think. I can feel safe in this world. I can love. And it's going to take me giving intentional effort and taking back my power, my narrative, my life, be the author of who I am and allow God to be the instructor of the pen. When I can do that, I can just be free. And that's all that I want. We ride all the time and we come here, we show up because we are trying to become exactly what God has called us to be. In life, there will always be trouble. The trouble that we participate in and the ones we endure. But Jesus left us his peace. The peace that sleeps in the middle of a storm. The peace that asks God to forgive those that persecute you. And the peace that you can use to build great relationships among sinners and those that hurt you. Well, it looks like we've reached our destination. May the peace of God rule in your heart. I love you for riding with me and see you next week on Chatting with Charity. Don't forget to bring your friends. I love you for riding. Bye. Don't forget to rate this podcast, share, like, and subscribe. See you next Thursday on Chatting with Charity. And don't forget to bring your friend.